Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better, better,
we get better, better.
We get
beat,
beat,
we get
beat, beat,
we get
beat, beat,
beat, beat, beat.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Friday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Hennig, Blackshirt Jay back Monday. And let's get rolling. It's Nebraska, it's Ohio State, less than, well, tack on a couple. A little more than 24 hours away, if we do the math. Listen, I'm in a relaxation mode still, got the edge, still ready to go, still fired up and focused. But I got to say, a air hug and a fist pound to our general manager for getting this set up. Today in the office was Massage Friday. And there's a masseuse in the building. Good dude. And let's just say, got the kinks all worked out. Every time I ask the wife for a back rub, I get this stare and a polite go to hell. And at least, but today,
it's good to have a pro do it, though.
Right. Yeah. Who wants to do it?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah. So a little 15-minute deal. It's good. Loosened up, ready to go. And I've had enough caffeine today where I didn't go to night-night mode. We'll get caught up with Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury of ESPN, Bill Dolman in 15 minutes, Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer of Hale Varsity. He'll talk Ohio State, Nebraska. Lars Anderson, Bleacher Report, huge college football weekend. Lars will jump on, get his thoughts on LSU, Bama, get his thoughts on Nebraska, Ohio State. Friday forecast with Klausburn, and then a recruiting update, Jake Jensen of Hale Varsity before we say goodbye. Got a big night planned. I am not doing football tonight. Going to do the Alan Jackson show. That just kind of fell out of the sky. Thank you, the defensive coordinator of Carson's flag football team says, you want to go? I'm like, yeah. I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow at 7 a.m. Don't worry about that, TJ. He's looking at me in a concerned form or fashion. Can join us today on Hale Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll free, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Hennig, at Hale Varsity. That's how you get in touch with us. Okay, let's talk excitement level. Let's talk buzz. And I kind of ran into Greg Smith earlier today. I was like, dude, are you fired up for Saturday? And he kind of looked at me. He's like, you know, buzz factor has been, it's been kind of quiet. It's been kind of quiet. Now, you have election stuff. You have the Cubs. Had a ton of people's attention this week, Cubs and Tribe. I totally get that. But, man, you felt awesome about Nebraska's performance, and then you felt sick that they didn't win it. That's kind of the mentality. As you go into Ohio State, are you energized? Are you fired up? What's your excitement level like? I felt like by the end of the week, last week, you were at an 8 or a 9. And then by Saturday, pre-kickoff, you were around 11 or 12. You felt good. You felt ready. This week, I think you've, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but I think you've been at a 5 or a 6. You might crank up to 7 or 8. I think there's just some serious, serious doubt about Nebraska. You can talk yourself into as to why they can win Saturday night. I'm not, it's not an impossible situation for Nebraska. Ohio State seems to be down, seems to be wounded a bit, and that's frankly what scares me. That's what frightens me a bit, because Ohio State, they're one of those impervious teams to hitting a rut or going through the motions. They're supposed to be, because they're ranked and expected to win every game. Their expectation level is the same as Nebraska's, win and win championships, except they've been good enough to do it the last 5 years. Urban Meyer's 14-1 in November. His one loss a year ago to Michigan State. And Ohio State's not bored this year like they were last year. I think there's some real confidence problems going on with him. And it was rattled and shook up, which is weird because they won in Madison 3 weeks ago. That should energize and empower any team. And then the week after, tough ask, then they lose and blow a lead. And they had no answer and they couldn't finish. They found a way to beat Northwestern, and Northwestern looks like a top 25 football team right now despite their 4-4 record. And then there's Nebraska, and you still have injury questions. You're not sure if Brandon Riley's going to go. Doesn't sound like it. Maybe by game time, Mr. Miyagi will loosen up that hamstring. But right now, your deep threat's in question. Your quarterback play is in question. Your defense, as good as they've looked and as well as they're playing, it's not really about their ability or talent to make stops. You know they'll be fine. But Ohio State's that special creature that you can play perfect and they're still freakishly athletic enough to make you miss and score. So I understand why the energy and excitement level is a little bit down, because you've foreseen this. It's a loss, and it's a loss you've thought all along since the schedule came out, however long ago that was. And I think there's some real doubt about Nebraska putting a really good game together. They can play parts of a game really well. Now, the other side of it is, the last time Ohio State had a sweet game was in Norman, the end of September. That same weekend, Nebraska beat Oregon, Ohio State throttled Oklahoma. You know Oregon's not good. You know Oklahoma's really not good on defense. So maybe there's a little bit too much credit given to Ohio State. But as young as they are, that was a pretty big wow win this season. Just that they won, but how they won. You know, by the way, they did it after like an hour and a half, 2 hour lightning and weather delay.
21 in Norman. That's impressive.
I mean, it was huge. And it wasn't even that close. There were some dirty touchdowns that Boomer scored. So when I look at this ball game, what are some advantages Nebraska has? You have to ask yourself the question, and we can chew on it if you want. Do you give Nebraska a shot Saturday night? Are you leaning that, yeah, something in you says they can get it done? Or are you just like, no. They're just too talented. Ohio State's just too talented. And Nebraska's chance to get it done in impressive fashion and make their statement was last week, and they missed the opportunity. It's too much to ask to go in Columbus. My gut tells me that Vegas is jumping pretty hot and heavy with a 17-point number. On paper, the talent is apples and oranges, at least from an NFL prospect perspective. Nebraska has talent. I'm not saying they don't have talent. I think they're a really good football team, and they have guts, giant guts, and use another term and adjective. I think Nebraska is well-stocked there, okay? So I don't doubt that. I don't doubt heart. I don't doubt want to. I don't doubt grit. I think Nebraska's got gallons of that. It comes down to just some ballers. You have some special athletes that Urban Meyer has always seemed to have on this roster. And I think Urban Meyer is sick and tired of being doubted. I think some of the guys on the team are sick of being doubted. And I think they want to make a statement. This is a statement opportunity for both teams, yes, but more so Ohio State, because they're kind of forgotten about, and that doesn't happen. My gut says that this is a very bad situation Nebraska is rolling into Saturday night, and Ohio State wants to remind everybody that, yeah, we're still Ohio State. Nebraska will do everything they can to keep that from happening, but that's just my vibe, where you're going to roll in there, and Ohio State is going to try and make an example of Nebraska. It's not quite 59-0 Ohio State over Wisconsin to get into the playoff. But there's a little of that going on because 2 years ago, Ohio State was doubted as well until they beat Michigan State convincingly. Then everyone got on board. Right now, there's still that kind of holding pattern of, yeah, Ohio State's good. Yeah, Ohio State's young, but they just don't look right. And either they continue to look ill or they snap out of it and drop a nuclear on Nebraska. And when I mean nuclear, I mean they win by a couple, three touchdowns because their talent level could allow that to happen. 466-377-6800, 825-5865. Are you giving Nebraska a shot? Am I off in my what my gut tells me that I'm that I think Ohio State's just lying in wait, ready to hand something back to Nebraska?
Oh, no. I've kind of had that feeling all week where it could be 17, 20-point victory for Ohio State because they are that talented, and Nebraska is just so cobbled up together on the offensive line and the way Tommy's been struggling lately. But I keep going back to what I've referenced a lot this season, who they're playing for, and we saw it this week on the Journey episode, and that's Sam Foltz, the Garden Angel, watching over this team this season. And, man, that speech that Kyron Williams gave before that Wisconsin game, like, I want to run out there with him and go play for Sam. I mean, this team has something to play for, and I think that's why they're going to be in every game. And that's, I mean, they've been in every game under Mike Riley. So, but with that being said, the amount of talent that Ohio State has, and you know it's just kind of a sleeping giant waiting to wake up over there, if you reference back to the first 4 weeks they played this season, yeah, it has me a bit worrisome.
We'll take calls here in a moment, but yeah, I mean, right now I look at Nebraska and I think the quick answer is yes, you give them a shot because there's just something, the it factor about Nebraska. They just find a way to be in it, find a way to make it a four-quarter game, find a way to get a couple turnovers, find a way to make some magic happen on third and long with the legs or arm of Tommy Armstrong. The maturity point of this football team is also in their favor. That is the one intangible you can't ever count out, or you can't measure too much. Nebraska's leadership, their maturity, the veterans, the age. I mean, there's not much they haven't been through. And they've referenced that this season. The other side of this is confidence. Ohio State tends to be on shaky ground confidence-wise. That's talk to folks in Ohio. That's their vibe. Meanwhile, Nebraska is ultra confident. I mean, they are 1,000% self-assured they're going to go play and go get the win. That's inside the walls. That's their coach. Mm-hmm. And I love that message Monday that was put out there, the mad angle, the angry card, the chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. Now, from some other advantages along with maturity and senior leadership, the improv game, as good as Ohio State is, and I did some research looking at their secondary, Latimer, Hooker, Conley. I mean, you look at NFL drafts, mock drafts. That's picks 12, 13, and 15 in the first round.
Whew.
Now, are they going to stay with every play? Because Nebraska's equalizer is when Tommy's like, dear Lord, there's five red jerseys running after me. Let me roll out and find Westy, or at least this week, find Seathan, or let's hit Zoe up top. The improv side of things. You know, Barrett and Ohio State has that. Well, Nebraska, too, has that factor. And if you're not disciplined and if you don't stay with the play till it is completely done, that's where Nebraska can make some things happen, and teams have done so. Watching that Northwestern game, I mean, it seems like Northwestern, Ohio State was on 48 times this week. Northwestern did some work in the seam, and I love what Nebraska can do with Westerkamp in the slot because that's where teams have gone to work. They've gone to work on Ohio State with their cornerback in the slot, their nickel corner. So Westy and Seathan, defensively, they'll play at a high level. I think they'll make plenty of tackles. There are just some guys like Curtis Samuel that just make the best look bad. Mm-hmm. So that could be an issue. And listen, The pressure is on Ohio State. They're number six. Death, taxes, and Ohio State winning national championships is the mantra in Columbus and in that state.
Mm-hmm. And they're likely done with a loss with the way Michigan's rolling.
Well, the point is do they get to Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
All can be well if they get to Michigan. But right now, I mean, people are fired up and angry. They're still mad at him for losing to Penn State. The fans.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Fan base is
crazy.
PO'd. Well, they're not unlike Nebraska fans as far as the expectation. Nebraska fans have stepped back and said, well, we know football and this team's good, but it's not championship contender good. The thing is they can get right into that race with a win Saturday night. But the pressure is on Ohio State. And, again, back to this maturity factor. You have one senior starting for Ohio State. Got a bunch of other dudes that are 4 and 5 stars that are freshmen and sophomores. How do they deal with this expectation that you got to go out and win and roll? That's why you play, obviously. Still got to go do it. So maturity will be big. Confidence is on Nebraska's side. God-given, game-changing talent is on Ohio State's side. What's your thought Saturday? Are you giving Nebraska a shot? We'll talk to Bill Dolman next.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for your time. Hope you're doing all right on a Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. And yes, I am ready for some Alan Jackson. Lucked into that one. Let's welcome in the Pride of Fairbury and with ESPN, Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. This song is famous, and they wrote it for Bill. Billy D, how we doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm in outside Pittsburgh this weekend and just absolutely loving the scenery. And this is coming from a guy who lives in Denver but prefers the warm blanket of the heartland that is Nebraska. But it's just gorgeous out here in the Iron Belt.
Visiting an old friend that used to work out there, are we?
I didn't bring a musket or anything. No. But I did wonder. I have no idea where the flu is, but nevertheless. No.
If you bump into Smiley, tell him hi.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You'll tell him he's number one. All right, Bill. Chance to be number one in the Big Ten. Nebraska wins tomorrow. They stay number one in the West. They beat Ohio State. They'll be right behind Michigan as a favorite to win the Big Ten. What do you see Saturday? What do you see happening? What's your gut tell you? Listen, excitement-wise, last week people ramped up and were cranked up for Nebraska-Wisconsin. I think people will get cranked up and ready for Ohio State, but there's just some uncertainty, and I mean, this thing's already been chalked up as a loss months ago. And right now they're playing better. There's confidence on Nebraska's side, but it's still Ohio State. It's still Urban Meyer in November.
And I think that's justifiable. I think Nebraska went to Wisconsin last week and gave everybody a sense of belief. But I think we all kind of thought this is Wisconsin is a team that we kind of parallel. They really built their program based on us. I mean, Barry Alvarez did. Let's face it. It's Nebraska North. But they build a winner. There's no question about it. But I think that last week there was a sense among everybody that this Nebraska team could go there and compete and possibly win, right? I think we've developed that mentality, which is good. I've said it for a long time now. We should not be in a rivalry and competitive with Northwestern. That has to be gone now. You know, so to go to Madison, the last 2 years against Wisconsin have been incredibly competitive. They've been incredibly heartbreaking, but they've been incredibly promising. Now, this week, I'm not sure that we have that same belief. I think that if Ohio State was coming to Lincoln, I think that there's probably that sense, like last year with Michigan State, this year with Oregon, who they thought was going to be decent, that you come to our place and we can handle you, we'll give it our best shot, and we really do think we can win. I'm not sure that Nebraska's in that place going to Ohio State. I think if Nebraska loses there, I think it's just going to be accepted because I think it's kind of expected. And that's amongst everybody in our little family here. Mm-hmm. The players certainly say all the right things. They believe they can do it. I think right now those of us not putting the pads on are kind of in a show-me mode. Nebraska showed a lot last week and should have won the game. I did not realize that the same officiating crew that was at Penn State back in 1982 when they had an appendage on the sideline. I didn't realize those guys were calling pass interference or not calling it last week.
Wow.
But apparently they've been around for the last 40 years, right? I mean, that was an egregious non-call. Now, don't be in that position, okay? I mean, it can't come down to one call. Something happened in the first quarter that led to the second or the fourth that led to that situation. But that was a really, really bad non-call, right? But where Nebraska is at right now, based on what happened last week, people should feel really good about the direction and the competitive nature of the program. I just have a hard time believing that people believe they can get it done this week.
I don't think many think they'll win at all, but I think you're right inside those walls. I mean, Coach Riley was great in his press conference because he was asked, you know, mentally, and I'm paraphrasing the question that Ole asked him, but mentally, are you worried about your team and da-da-da-da-da? And he's like, no. I mean, I wouldn't apply any worry mentally to my team. I think they're going to be mad. They're going to be sad about it. You can either be mad or sad after a loss, and he thinks this team will be mad.
And I saw that, I heard that, and I agree with that. And I think that comes from the fact that this is a pretty veteran team, especially offensively. You know, if this is a year from now, I don't think we're talking about a Nebraska team next year being 7-1. There's just so many significant losses in critical positions offensively for Nebraska to maintain 7-0, 7-1 going into big games next year. I think we enjoy this season. I think we enjoy this senior class and hope to God that Tommy Armstrong doesn't have, you know, that critical mistake and an interception that comes at an awful time. And for the most part, he's avoided that. But there have been some plays in every game where you're going, oh, not again. But they've been limited, and that's good. But, you know, I worry about the sustainability of where Nebraska's at right now because there just isn't the perpetual machine that's been built, you know, like it was in the past. You replace great players with great players who've been in the program for a while. So, but I believe that this specific class, because of the seniors offensively, yeah, they can go in there mad and believing that they can get it done. And that's where it gives you a chance.
Bill, I got to ask you about Armstrong and this, and it's been this way. It's the impossible he pulls off, and I'm talking a ton of those third and longs, and then the routine escapes him sometimes. And that's just my biggest issue, question, is I don't think he needs to outplay Barrett, but he needs to be that difference wall on offense like Barrett will be and can be against name a defense, like Barrett was against Northwestern last week. Nebraska's got to get back to running Tommy Armstrong. He's got to get around that 100-yard mark rushing or more for them to pull this thing off like he did against Northwestern, like he did against Oregon. And that's where they got to go with it. They're too dinged up to make him feel comfortable at all on must complete passes. I mean,
yeah, but I agree, but this isn't going to be the fastest defense that he faces. I know Oregon's built on speed, but
no, these guys are for real. I mean,
this is as close to a Southeastern Conference speed as you're going to find outside of the SEC. probably not as well paid, but nevertheless, these right. guys are going to be really fast. So for him to be fleet-footed and get big plays, now it comes down to your offensive line.
Yeah.
Those guys have to maintain blocks. They've got to be able to, you know, block downfield. Your receivers have to block. If Tommy Armstrong is going to do anything offensively, it's not going to be Tommy Armstrong doing it. It's going to be guys blocking and blocking hard. It's going to be the old school Nebraska football. Those receivers downfield have to maintain blocks for anybody to pick, you know, to get past that first line of defense to get to the second level. I mean, if you just have these little love taps on the outside and allow safeties and even corners, you know, to come in and make plays, you're not going to get anything done in the run game. So it doesn't matter what Terrell Newby or Tommy Armstrong. And trust me, the number of times I want to say Tommy Frazier is mind-boggling when I talk about Tommy Armstrong. Because if Tommy Frazier were the quarterback of this football team right now, I'd have no worry whatsoever. You know, Tommy's just going to get it done. But that was yesterday. But for Tommy Armstrong to do anything, you know, in terms of running the football, there has to be good blocking, maintained blocking on the second level. This defense is way too fast for him to get big yards, anybody to get big yards.
Hey, Bill, there was a big parade in Chicago today. How happy are you for Cubs fans?
You know, I've been thinking about that, as my old friend Neil Palmer would say on the air, former Nebraska gymnast. You know, I think it's great that in the last century that the Cubs have been able to win half as many world championships as the Florida and Miami Marlins.
Wow. You know, Riley, the mullet's there today.
Oh, it doesn't shock. Here, I am very happy for long-suffering, true long-suffering Cubs fans. I am not happy for those, as your buddy the Pirate Mike Leach said, most of those people are trendy, lovable losers who drive their Beamers and say that they've been lifelong Cubs fans when in reality they just jumped on a bandwagon.
In reality, they got the receipt for their jersey.
Exactly. You know, and there are way, way, way too many of them. And that's my problem. My problem with the Cubs has been for many years, they loved losing. They didn't care about winning. Now, what did it take for them to win? Nebraska people, all right? And Theo Epstein. But it took Nebraska people to own them, to take them to the World Series to win it. But for the most part, for the last 40 years, from when you would get games on WGN over-the-air antenna, and they would come in every now and then, the WGN superstation, to where they are today, for the most part, they embraced losing and didn't want to win. They loved it. And so I have a very hard time with the of the 5 million people that at the parade today, I'll bet there might be a million of them who are genuine Cubs fans. Hillary Clinton even said she's been a lifelong Cubs fan when she said that she was a Yankees fan. And the president said he's a White Sox fan. But so they're all jumping on the bandwagon now because the bandwagon of losers is what was wrong with the Cubs for so many years. Those like Riles and others, mm-hmm. Terry Pettit, guys that I know, John Bishop across. I mean, yeah. I know everybody knows the vocal Cub fan in Lincoln, right?
Right on. Bill, I've got 10 seconds. I need a prediction.
I think the Marlins win the World Series next year and defeat the Cubs in six.
Marty McFly.
Game. I'd say 3-2 Nebraska.
3-2 Nebraska with the point victory. Dolman, be good, and thanks for your time, bud.
See ya.
Say hi to Smiley. All right.
Yeah.
Bill Dolman with us. Mike Babcock next on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text Hail to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good to caught up with Bill Dolman, who's in Pittsburgh for ESPN. He said Nebraska 3, Ohio State 2. Love him. All right, historian, author, Hall of Famer, at Hale Varsity's very own Mike Babcock with us to talk Nebraska, Ohio State. If you love the weather in Nebraska, blame Mike Babcock. It's tremendous outside. Babbers, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. 3-2, huh? That's 3-2. That's the problem. That's a problem right there, because who's gonna? No, I won't go any. I won't go any further on that.
Who's gonna give up the safety? Is that where we're gonna go?
Yeah. What's with that?
Yeah, I mean, true Nebraska fans would say just shut them out 3-0.
Right? Yeah. Just let Drew Brown kick a field goal and shut them out.
Easy, right? Just kind of like Switzer's last game, one of those 7-0 or 7-3 deals in a rainstorm. Although it'll be good weather in Columbus.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. And you know, I thought Bill's comments about Tommy Frazier were pretty good. You know, I've said Tommy Frazier once or twice when I'm talking about Tommy Armstrong. Also, the only thing I would disagree with Bill on that. I think if you put Tommy Armstrong Jr. behind a line that included Rob Zadiska, Joel Wilkes, Aaron Graham, Brendan Stye, and Zach Wiegert, or Dishman, Taylor, Graham, Ott, and Anderson, the pipeline guys, instead of an offensive line that's banged up and you know hasn't had an opportunity to play together since the beginning of the season, I think it's a whole different thing. You know, that's one thing that bothers me a little bit about Tommy Armstrong Jr. doesn't always make the greatest decisions, but some of his decisions are forced onto him because he's under pressure. And you know, I think that you have to put it in context. It's 11 guys out there, and so the offensive line and you know, sometimes the backs are responsible for picking up defenders and so forth. And so I don't put all that stuff on Tommy Armstrong. And I know that sometimes he doesn't plant and throw the ball properly or whatever. But I don't think it's gonna come all just down to that. You know, I mean, it's a responsibility of all the guys out there on the field.
It's more than just him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Reading this ESPN.com article by Josh Moyer, I love the maturity, and that's if Nebraska gets the win Saturday night, it'll be because of that maturity, that leadership, that senior and upperclassman mindset. A couple of things in it. When it comes to the noise, Armstrong obviously tries not to pay attention to it. When we have both spoken to him, he's kind of like that. I believe he's got some tunnel vision, but he's not just saying the right things. I think he believes it now when it comes to everyone just doing their job and not trying to do too much. And he referenced past big games where guys got too amped for it and tried to do too much. And I think that's one thing that you saw at Wisconsin. They were pretty even keel, and there wasn't a lot of forcing going on. I mean, obviously, yes, it's fourth and overtime. You got to go downtown. So there is that example. But for the most part, I thought the response was good. I thought they bounced back well. Do you think Tommy will bounce back? Do you think he'll have a better game?
Well, yeah. You know, I'm bad at predicting this kind of stuff, and I certainly wouldn't predict 3-2. But, you know, I think so. I think he's a resilient guy, but you know, but I don't know. And the observation is a veteran team. I don't know how many the guys are going, but Nebraska has about 30 seniors on this team, right?
Yeah.
And again, I don't know that all of them are making the trip, but I think that there's the attitude that they've been through a lot together, and certainly Tommy is one of the leaders of that group. So I would think that he has the ability to bounce back, but then you take into account you know, Ohio State is second in the conference in total defense, third in the conference in rushing defense, and third in the conference in pass defense. So, and as Bill pointed out, this is a hot Ohio State team that's got some speed. So it's a whole different kind of dynamic. And I thought this was great. Last week, Nate Gerrish said that the Wisconsin game would be like a boxing match. And it would, you know, you'd slug it out. And that's kind of what it was. And this week, Nathan Gary said that it would be like basketball on grass, you know, because of Ohio State's offense and the speed that Ohio State has. So if Tommy is to come through, probably Nebraska is going to have to score with Ohio State. It's going to be a different kind of a game than Wisconsin. And it's probably going to be difficult to run the ball. But, you know, I get back to that every time. I think you have to establish some kind of a running game to take some pressure off the quarterback and allow him to make some good decisions.
Mike Babcock with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Babber's got about 90 seconds here. What's coming up with Hale Varsity in the magazine? Also, of course, the premium site you can go to, HaleVarsity.com.
Yeah, well, Aaron Sorensen has got a really nice feature put together on Caleb Lightbourne. It's kind of interesting, the places that he's lived, how much he's moved around. And then we've got a feature on field goal, kind of game-winning field goals, or, you know, late last-second field goals, or that kind of thing. It hadn't since Devaney was coached, so go back to 1962. You know, there haven't been that as many, I guess, as you'd think, but obviously Nebraska went through a stretch there where there weren't too many games that came down to that. But so we put together a list there of some of the late game field goals that produced wins. Not, however, the field goal that Bill Callahan called for against Oklahoma.
It's not in this issue.
to make it 30-3.
to cover the number.
You know, that wasn't on our list. I think Bill kicked a field goal to make the score 30-3 against Colorado when Colorado hadn't scored since the first quarter. So I guess that was a kind of an NFL thing, but in addition to the regular features, but those are kind of the things that will stand out, I think.
Well, I can't wait to see the issue and get the issue. Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, 855-3-HUSKER. Babbers, have a great weekend. We'll catch up this next week. Appreciate you.
Hey, it's all good. Good talking to you.
All right, there we go. Game-winning kicks. Josh Brown hit one against Colorado. I called that at the old broadcasting college. And then Byron Bennett went 0-for-2. Now, one dude had snowballs being rained down on him in Boulder in 91. We'll wind down hour one. Hale Varsity continues.
Welcome back to the Hale Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird will be back on Monday. Hour two, Lars Anderson coming up, Mike Babcock and Bill Dolman this hour. Friday forecast also 30 minutes away. Jake Jensen, a recruiting update. Some of you are already headed there. Some of you need to get there when you get into town if you're out in western or central or northeast Nebraska. I'm talking about Zipline Brewing Company and their tap rooms. The beer hall is open in Lincoln, 56th and Pine Lake. It's a modern German beer hall, 24 taps, community tables, and the neighborhood bar you want to go check out. I implore you to do it in Lincoln, or if you're outside of Lincoln, when you get to Lincoln, go see your friends at Zipline Brewing Company. And if you've not tried a Zipline yet, I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to encourage you to enjoy the amazing selection and products and craftsmanship that goes into Zipline beer. They started here in Lincoln. They've been incredible over the last 4 years with record sales. They're gold medal winning, right? Copper all, tremendous. They are nationally recognized for their IPA, and they have a beer for you. 40 different styles and two locations. The Westo original tap room you can visit if you're coming into town or you're in Lincoln, or for sure the new Lincoln Beer Hall, 56th and Pine Lake, with zip line. And if you're out west or in central Nebraska or outside the Lincoln area, the folks have zip line for you. You just need to go grab a six pack around the state of Nebraska or find a location that has them on draft. Find your local grocery store, bottle shop. And when you're making your way for a Nebraska home game, be it Minnesota or Maryland, or if you're coming to town for the holidays, find your way to Zipline. It's brewed in Lincoln, but poured for all of you in Nebraska. Marcus and his friends at Zipline Brewing Company. Okay. Tommy Armstrong, very mature with his comments on this ESPN.com article from Brett Moyer. Now, the percentages are there. And you've seen some of the percentages drop with Nebraska this week against Ohio State. If Nebraska wins Saturday night, their playoff chances go from 10%. Right now, Nebraska, 10% chance to get to the college football playoff. They win in Columbus. Say it with me. 85%.
Ooh, that's a jump.
That's like a calculus test score. That's my test score, the 10%.
Yeah,
the kid I had take the test for me got an 85. Something ain't right. Good work.
Man.
If it can happen, it happens, right?
Yeah.
Go for it. Now, the legacy question's been floating out there this week, too. And big wins do make your mark. They do stay attached to you. And guys like Turner Gill was the savior against Oklahoma. Guys like Scott Frost and that Washington Road win he had in 97. He was able to go get a title himself with that great 1997 team. Other quarterbacks to bring the championships here, Jerry Tagge, of course. Crouch won the Heisman. Had some help, but kind of a one-man band in 01. Special. Tommy Armstrong's had a tremendous career. He's won at Michigan. He's beat Michigan State. Let's see if he gets a big game pelt in Columbus in that basement of his. Okay, Lars Anderson next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show. The authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
big,
big.
We get big,
big. Boom, big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big weekend of college football. Welcome in with the Bleacher Report and part of the SEC Network, a contributor there and a New York Times best-selling author, native Nebraskan Lars Anderson, back with us at LarsAnderson71 on Twitter. Lars, how we doing?
Doing good. Just getting ready for another big weekend of college football.
Well, you just put a story out on the Bleacher Report and another story from you. And you take a look back, I love the title, The Day the NFL Took Over Alabama, November 5th, 2011. I remember that game vividly. LSU number one, great LSU team that year. Number two, Alabama, the most recent game of the century. What inspired you to do a story? Obviously, the matchups this weekend, LSU-Alabama, but man, all the talent on that field then, Honey Badger and co., it was something pretty cool, and you take us back to what a ball game.
Yeah, I mentioned just how big this game was at the time to my editors at Bleacher, and I wasn't sure exactly how many guys went on to play in the NFL. And once I looked it up, I was astounded. So we decided to do oral history, and oral histories are difficult on the writer because it's a lot of legwork. It is tracking down people in the NFL. Coaches, you know, players, students, and try to get as many voices in there as possible. But one incredible statistic from that night, I believe it was 63 guys who were on the field on the both sidelines that night, went on to play in the NFL, and so far they've made a little bit more than $295 million collectively. So you could make the argument that there was more future NFL talent on the field that night than ever existed before or since in college football history. And the game was a real defensive struggle, went into overtime, and LSU won 9-6. And they went on to then have a rematch for the national championship. And those two games really were the straw that broke the camel's back for the BTS system. And it's not a coincidence that the playoff system that we have now makes it very difficult. There's almost safeguards against having two teams from the same conference make the Final Four. And that is a direct result of what happened 5 years ago, beginning on November 5th, 2011 in Tuscaloosa, when we had all that amazing talent. And one of the another funny anecdote from the story was, before the game, the LSU players, they're getting ready to run out of the tunnel, and Les Miles is leading them out, and Miles takes about three steps, and then he gets absolutely stampeded by his players. Les goes to the ground, and the players are running around him, and afterward, Les told me, he's like, you know, I knew we were ready to play at that moment, because if the guys are willing to hit their coach, they're certainly willing to hit the other team.
Well, what happens this Saturday? I mean, Ed Orgeron has a lot of optimism built up. LSU's playing much better. The offense has been clicking with Etling. That said, Alabama lets nobody run on them. 70 yards a game is it. LSU's not been able to run on Alabama the last couple of years. Will that stay the same, or do you think LSU rises to the occasion and makes this thing, what Vegas is saying, a 7-point ball game or better?
Mark my words, this will not be a 7-point ball game. I've spent a lot of time around the team this week. I'm working on a long Jalen Hurts story, quarterback for Alabama, and several of the LSU players have been running their mouths, and that has been heard loud and clear in Tuscaloosa, let me tell you. And I still think this is the best defense Saban's has. It's been at Alabama. 15 future first and second round draft picks. They had a big loss in Eddie Jackson, who was their most veteran guy, a safety, most veteran defensive back. But they're going to move Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's going to be a first round pick, from the star position over to safety, and they really won't miss a beat. And I don't see how LSU can move the ball in Alabama. You know, last year Leonard Fournette came into this game as the overwhelming Heisman Trophy favorite. I mean, even more so, you could argue, than Lamar Jackson right now. And Alabama just shut him down, and that ended his Heisman hopes. And I don't know if Fournette has been the same back really since. He's fully healthy now. He's going to have a huge game. I don't see how LSU can generate the point. And then on the flip side of the ball, I don't think LSU is the same on the defensive front four as they've been in years past. You don't look at any one of those guys and say, oh, he's going to be a surefire, Pro Bowl-level player in the NFL. And that's what they have consistently produced over the years. That's been the hallmark of the LSU teams is their defensive front four. And so I see Alabama being able to move the ball and score some points. I think it'll be a relatively low-scoring game, maybe like 24-10. But I think Alabama really will control this. And they've gone into hostile environments and done quite well. You know, they got down early, big to Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi, and came back and won the game handily. And then just blew the doors off of Tennessee when Tennessee was still considered a legitimate team in Knoxville. So I have a hard time believing that LSU can hang with Alabama. That being said, if they do, Ed Orgeron will be he should start outfitting his office for new curtains, because he'll be the guy. If he can beat Alabama, Ed Orgeron will be the head coach at LSU. Future.
Lars Anderson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Let's talk Nebraska, Ohio State. First, though, Lars, your thoughts on how Nebraska fared and performed and what statement they made against Wisconsin. What did you see?
Well, I thought they played well. And, I think Nebraska earned a lot of respect nationally. That was reflected in the fact that they barely dropped in the polls. Certainly the very last play of the game, Tommy Armstrong had a chance to end it, the throws on time in the corner of the end zone. and the penultimate play of the game on that third down play, you and I were texting, and that was pass interference that just blatantly wasn't called. But that happens. You can't let the games come down to something like that. But that being said, I thought Nebraska acquitted themselves quite well. It's going to be a tall task, I think, going into the Horseshoe on Saturday night. Ohio State has sort of lost their rhythm in the last few games. But you just get this sense that they're about ready to put it all together. For Nebraska's sake, you hope that doesn't happen. And I think Nebraska should really go and study what Northwestern did and how Northwestern was really able to hang in there with Ohio State and look at what Penn State did to them. They're a young team, and that's the one thing that Nebraska has, a veteran leadership on their two deep compared to Ohio State, which is, I think, the youngest team in the country when you analyze their two deep depth chart. So we'll see. I mean, Ohio State looks like a team that's lacking some confidence right now, so it might be ripe for the taking. And for Nebraska, if they somehow could pull off the upset on Saturday night, they're still very much in the playoff mix and the national championship hunt.
Lars, Nebraska has fire. They have confidence. They are feeling pretty good, but like they missed an opportunity. And you nailed it. I mean, how much longer will Ohio State be in this funk? You've covered Urban when he was at Florida. And what's typical of him when it comes to a team that has expectations, has a target, they've been less than dominant? What's his magic button that he pushes to get his guys ready?
He can awaken, the giant, and he's done it before. Look at what he did in winning the national championship
right.
2 years ago. You know, they weren't that impressive until the final three games of the season, Big Ten championship, and then they absolutely rolled Alabama and won the national and ended up winning the national championship. So I don't know. It feels like Urban has their attention now, and I don't know if they can sort of break out of it. For Nebraska, you hope not. And I think, again, that we talked about this last week, but I think a quick start is very important for Nebraska. Didn't get that last week against Wisconsin, but I think it's absolutely vital on Saturday night. The good thing is Nebraska just experienced what it's like to play on national television in front of a hostile crowd on Saturday night. They're going to get that exact same thing in the Horseshoe.
What do you expect from Tommy Armstrong? He made some impressive plays on third and long, missed some throws on third and short. His O-line's not helped him out. They're trying. They just haven't been because of injuries. His history says he bounces back. Do you think that holds true Saturday?
Yeah, I said it last week. I'll say it again. He needs to play the best game of his career. Nebraska left so many big plays out on the field. I'm thinking of one early on, just on the crossing route, where I think it was first or second series of the game against Wisconsin, and Tommy just missed him. A pretty easy throw, and he just got to hit those throws. He needs to play again at a very, very high level for Nebraska to have a chance, because overall Nebraska simply does not have the raw talent on its roster that Ohio State has. So how do you make up for that? You make up for that by your quarterback. And the quarterback for Nebraska is going to have to play, I think, the game of his life for Nebraska to pull off the upset.
Lars, big topic this week, the Big Ten Network, and part of the agreement that has been reached with Fox and ESPN and ABC, 2017 through 2019, there will be Friday night games. High school coaches associations across the Big Ten have come out and been upset. Nebraska's less than thrilled. The High School Coaches Association, the NSAA here, not thrilled with it. There's been no date circled for Nebraska. Michigan has said they're not interested. Penn State says they're not interested in hosting a Friday night game. There are stipulations attached to Indiana. There are stipulations attached to Ohio State. Why? I know money talks, but this sounds like a brutal idea. Viewership, creating a niche and window. Do you think folks will tune in to Big Ten football in droves, especially if you're not getting some of the Habs to participate on Friday night?
You know, I actually do. I think you'll get a bigger audience than if you are kicked off to the Siberia of, you know, ESPNU on a Saturday at 11 a.m.
Okay.
And so the alternative is, for Nebraska, I view this as a good thing. You get a chance to get some national exposure on a Friday night where you're not going up against much, and you might be able to reach a kid that you normally couldn't, a family who is going to be sitting around on a Friday night in, you know, in Seattle, Washington, and wanting to watch some football, and Nebraska's on. And you see that Nebraska's also one of these few places where they'll still sell it out on a Friday night, whereas other places could be a challenge. So I think for Nebraska, just in terms of exposure, and Nebraska needs more exposure, games are so saturated on Saturday. It's not like there's only three choices. So I think ultimately this could be a good thing for Nebraska, just in terms of viewing it through the lens of recruiting.
The other side of that, though, is you get eight Saturdays, and if you are to host a Friday night, and say you host a non-conference that's early in the year, that blows up one of your Saturdays or weekends of recruiting, because theoretically those recruits are playing Friday night. So I just think there's a lot to be desired with it, and I think it's a mistake. I agree with you that from an exposure standpoint, yeah, you can create a viewership window and a niche and be the only show in town, so to speak, across the country on a Friday night. I just think logistically it's going to be a nightmare, and I just kind of get a kick out of Michigan and Penn State already kind of saying, hey, nice work, we're not in. We're not interested. I don't know that everyone was on the same page with this.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a new idea. It's driven by money, and ultimately people need to figure out how to make it work, because it seems like the barn door is open and the horses are running free.
Lastly, the Chicago Cubs claiming a world championship. Were you a Cub guy growing up?
I was not. I was more of a Braves guy, just because we had CBS in Lincoln growing up, and I was also a Royals fan and Baltimore Orioles. So I lived in New York City for 15 years, so I'm a Yankees guy. So I was never a Cub. I'm never a Cub fan.
Okay. Well,
I know it's a big deal. I understand, and I'm happy for I've. Plenty of friends who are Cub fans, and I think they're still three sheets to the wind and haven't gone to bed yet. They're so happy. So yeah, it's a great sports story. Epic game seven. It's a very, very nice, compelling story. Might even end up being the story of the year.
Lars Anderson, Bleacher Report, at Lars Anderson 71. Lars, have a good weekend. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right, take care, Chris.
Going to get caught up with Lars Anderson. He is going to have an amazing story on Jalen Hurts, the quarterback at Bama, and to give you his thoughts on Nebraska, Ohio State. The Friday forecast is coming up, and Claus Burton will weigh in with his thoughts. I'll have mine. TJ will sound off, and Gary Novotny and Gary Michaels will be part of it. So excited for the Friday forecast. Excited for you to find time to go see our dear friends at Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds, they're available for you. Select 1 carat diamonds available for you. Affordable for you. $100 a month. Don't shortchange that sweetheart of yours. And you can get 1 carat diamonds and find just the one that will stick out most to her with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island. Log on, SauterHeyman.com, YourBestRing.com. Friday forecast next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, who backed up Jay? Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Get ready for Nebraska, Ohio State. Second crack at it for Nebraska against some of the nation's elite. It is time for the Friday forecast on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and our weekly Friday forecast presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program. the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline 1-800-522-4700. Let's get into it and welcome in Klausburn. Klausburn, how are we doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. I apologize if I'm a little slower. I'm still trying to catch up from watching the ball game the other night. I stayed up until the very end, and you'll learn that once you get to my age, it's really hard to sleep in past 4 a.m., so I'm pretty light on sleep for the week, but I'll try.
Welcome in, Odor with Gary Michaels Clothiers, Gary Novotny, Nebraska's premier store for men, Gary Michaels, and National Retailer of the Year, top five, and as good as it gets in the state of Nebraska. Navat, you're waving that W flag, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'll tell you what. It's the greatest thing next to penicillin. You can't believe it.
I bet not.
Fantastic.
Navat's waving that Cubs flag for years. It wasn't just purchased.
But I did take down the Jets flag to put that one up, so I've got one out of two.
You're ahead of the game there. All right, let's move on and talk ball games. Wisconsin minus 7 at Northwestern. TJ, start us off.
Yeah, Husker fans are going to keep a close eye on this one, hoping for Northwestern to pull the upset. I don't quite see, although like Clayton Thorson, those guys to keep it close. I got Wisconsin 17, Northwestern 14.
You know, Wisconsin is, the question is, you know, we kind of threw it out there last week, are they out of gas? Well, are they truly out of gas now? Another top 10 opponent, and they won and found a way in overtime. Northwestern's playing like a top 25 team. I just think Wisconsin's defense is too good. I think their run game will be effective enough. I don't like their quarterback situation. Thorson's really honestly playing the best out of anybody not named JT Barrett in the Big Ten. But I think Wisconsin finds a way. I think the streak ends for Northwestern and wins over ranked Wisconsin. They haven't beaten Wisconsin's not beaten Northwestern in Wildcat land since 1999. But I think Wisconsin wins it 24-21. First, they haven't beat him as a ranked team since then. Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels Clothiers. Novot, what do you say?
Well, you know, guys, I'll tell you what, you know, Wisconsin, they came out of Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Nebraska. I don't think there's much left in their tank. You know, they're 6-2. They're going against Northwestern. They're hot 4-4. I'm going for the upset special of the week. I like Northwestern 21-17.
All right. I said Wisconsin 24-21. Devon says go at the Cats. Klausburn, what do you think?
Well, first of all, it's been quite a week for the city of Chicago, obviously. They had a World Series win for the Cubs the first time in over a century in what I think is maybe the greatest baseball game I've ever watched. And I've seen a lot. And now Wisconsin and their fans come to town, and I guess that proves that life is a circle. I cannot imagine anything worse after all that beer being drank and then dispensed with than having more people coming to drink and dispense with your beer. But good news for Wisconsin fans, I'm pretty sure the Cubs drank the entire city out of Old Style, so there's no chance of being served that swill accidentally. You'll be able to enjoy yourselves, even if the score isn't exactly as you like. I predict a Wisconsin win, but 28-24 and a late Wisconsin touchdown to win it.
All right, let's move on. Iowa at Penn State. You know, Iowa's struggled. I think they'll be in this for a little bit, but Wisconsin. Penn State's just a bit too explosive. I like the front four of Penn State, especially how they really got after Barrett. Well, CJ is not Barrett. So give me Penn State. They keep rolling. They have some confidence. Give me the Nittany Lions 28-17. TJ.
Yeah, Penn State kept it rolling after Ohio State against Purdue, which many people do, and I like them to continue as well. Penn State 24, Iowa 20. Iowa keeps it close.
Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, what happens here, Iowa at Penn State?
Well, I'm with you guys, brother. I'm telling you, I like Penn State. They're coming off four big wins in a row. Beat Ohio State. That says a lot. Got great D. I pick them 40-21 and a big victory.
Okay, so they're rolling. Klausburn, what do you say? Penn State, Iowa.
Well, Penn State's having a really good year. And naturally, I think going into an upset minded Iowa will be rather nerve-wracking for them. But I want to make things clear for Penn State fans. Flocks of birds flying into windmills are the only thing in the state of Iowa that will make a rhythmic slapping sound.
Oh, wow.
So you don't have to be nervous about anything but the ball game. And I think it will be close. I agree with whoever said that. But I'll take Penn State in this one, 31-28. But I don't think they'll have to come from behind.
Did we lose Clausburn? Clausburn, we still there? Hello. Okay. Do we still have Navat? Wow. Someone blew up the phones. Oklahoma State at Kansas State. Bill Snyder and the Wildcats -2.5. You know what? This is the upset I think happens. K-State's just pretty good for a ranked win each week. I will say that. And give me Kansas State 31-28. Kansas State will get a special teams score to make this happen. TJ.
Ooh, I'm the opposite. I like Okie State in this one, 31-28.
All right, moving on. Navat, what do you say here, Kansas State or Oklahoma State?
Oh, what? They both went head-to-head with West Virginia. K-State lost by one. OSU won, I think, by 17. You know, they got beat by Baylor. But, you know, I'm going against Grandpa Snyder. I think OSU is 27-21. I like Oklahoma State.
Like the Cowboys. Clausburn, what do you like here, Cowboys or Wildcats?
Well, I was relatively surprised that the line was this close, but the more I thought about it, I guess Bill Snyder and Oklahoma State fans are relatively similar. They like to dig through discard bins to find old jackets to wear. And they both like the color gray. Bill, of course, with the team color being gray, one of them anyway. And for Oklahoma State, that's the color of choice to paint their rusted-out Broncos. So really, I think these things are pretty close. And so I'm going to take Kansas State like you, Chris, in a close one, 27-24.
Send down to the Bayou. It's Bama -7.5 at LSU. I don't think anyone can run on Alabama. Leonard Fournette didn't do it last year, can't do it this year. There's a former Purdue guy playing quarterback. As much as Easy Ed wants this win, it doesn't happen. Give me Bama 24-13 over LSU. TJ.
Man, I want to pick LSU so bad, but I just can't because we all know how good Alabama is. Coach Ed, 3 in a row, trying to make it 4. I just don't see it. I like Bama 20, LSU 13.
Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels, Clothiers, what do you like, Bama or LSU, Novot?
Bama's got too tough a defense. They're averaging about 15 points giving up a game. I like Alabama easy, 38-13.
Clausburn, Bama or Tigers?
Well, I think this game was going to be a little bit different than we all thought it might have been after the first week, so I figured I needed to do some deep research and went to the library and looked up Nick Saban and discovered that he's really good at putting together a strong defense and a power run game, like another coach we all know. And then, frankly, I got a little bit nervous about Googling Ed Orgeron because I figured it would just lead me to some Roman adult films. So I really didn't go too deep into that. So I assume he's a pretty good coach. It'll maybe be close, but I like Nick Saban's style, at least in terms of game planning. And I'll take Alabama in this one, 28-17.
All right, Nebraska and Ohio State, the line a firm 17. I think Nebraska will play hard. They will play tough. Ohio State, too many weapons, too talented in quarterback play. I trust theirs more than I trust Nebraska's, and part of that due to the offensive line. Ohio State wins this. Yeah, but they don't cover, 31-17 Buckeyes. TJ.
Yeah, I just think with Nebraska's offensive line right now, it's going to be too hard to score. They're going to need to take advantage of field position and try to score off the turnovers. I like Ohio State 28, Nebraska 13.
Gary Michaels, Gary Novotny of Gary Michaels. Novot, what happens here? You think of a Husker win?
Well, you know what, guys? I'm very always optimistic. And I think we're going to play very well. I think we're going to maybe even play pretty much errorless. Mm. But at the end of the day, you know, you're at a tough environment. And I still think that Ohio State's going to pull it out. But I think it's going to be a fourth quarter game. I say Ohio State 31, Nebraska 28.
Okay, so three-point game. Another heartbreaker, Navon. Okay. Klausbrunn, what happens here? Urban or Coach Riley?
Well, I'll never vote for Urban. Can't do it. But as far as the game goes, you know, this line is I think, probably ridiculously high at 17. But, you know, Vegas is interested in making money. They're interested in clearing people out. And, well, as Chris knows, he's lost a lot of money there himself in Las Vegas. And he's never once set foot on the casino floor. So
thank you for that.
I don't know how that happened. I'll leave that to your imagination. But in this game, I think Nebraska, like Gary, I think Nebraska probably comes out and plays a really disciplined game. And I think we're going to surprise a lot of people. But unlike Gary, I think Nebraska wins this one with a late field goal. And they take it 27-24. On a field goal that no one will believe Drew Brown can make, and he'll make it.
I love that.
So do I.
Klausbrunn, be good, behave yourself, and Penn State is no longer a pick choice, okay?
Okay.
Navot, be good, brother. It's good to talk
to you. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right. Gary Novotny, Gary Michaels Clothiers. And Klausbrunn. Klausbrunn says a Nebraska win. Our picks today for entertainment purposes only. 6 to 8 million Americans meet the criteria for gambling addiction. Many more affected. So if you have a problem or know someone who does, please call Lincoln, the Choices Treatment Center, 402-476-2300, or the Nebraska Council on Problem Gambling, 800-522-4700.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some recruiting, get some thoughts on Ohio State, Nebraska with Hail Varsity's Jake Jensen. Find Jake on Twitter at Jake_Jensen HV. Jake, I know Nebraska's on the road and recruiting's kind of been quiet, but what's new? How you been?
I've been doing good. And yeah, it's been a little bit quiet in terms of getting a commit or getting some big news on the recruiting trail, but you can kind of see Nebraska's coaching staff still kind of getting their footprint out there. Looking into Ohio State, a big storyline is actually going to be the Darnay Holmes situation. He'll be taking his official visit to Columbus for the Ohio State-Nebraska game this weekend. It's been well told throughout this whole recruiting cycle. Darnay Holmes is probably the most talented member of that Calabasas team. That includes Tristan Gebbia and Keyshawn Johnson Jr. Nebraska was considered to be a major contender for him, and they still are a contender for him, but it appears that Ohio State and Michigan have kind of started to separate themselves from the rest of the pack, and Nebraska's trying to play catch-up.
One way to do that is to pull off an upset Saturday night in Columbus while he's watching on the sideline, and Holmes is somebody Nebraska's put a lot of time in with. Jake Jensen of Hail Varsity with us here. Let's talk Aaron Banks and touch on what you think of him, his ability to help Nebraska. He is making that trip next weekend.
Yeah, Aaron Banks, he's another California prospect that Coach Kavanaugh has been after for a long time. And the first thing that just stands out to you, no matter what about him, is just his size. He's a legitimate 6'7", 330 pounds, and he's 18 years old. So this is a massive human being who's only going to get bigger. He moves extremely well for his size. He doesn't appear to be struggling to move when he's dropping back into his pass set. He moves very gracefully for a man of his size, and he's nasty. He's a big, mean dude who can anchor down the right or the left side of an offensive line, and he's part of that kind of that group of really big fish that Kavanaugh's trying to reel in. One of them, Foster Serrell, he came for the Fresno State game. He's probably, if not the best offensive tackle prospect in the nation, maybe the second or third best, and he visited first game, and Nebraska's still in it with him, along with Stanford. Then you've got Austin Jackson from Arizona, who's very talented, a really lean 6'6", 270 guy who moves extremely well. Then there's Chuck Filiaga from Texas, who's a big, I think he's probably about 6'5", about 315. And then you got Aaron Banks here, who's the biggest of the entire group, and he's a guy that I think Nebraska might actually have the inside track for at this point. But then you've still got, you know, the USCs and the UCLAs fighting hard to get him.
Now, tell me a little bit here with Nebraska and the defensive end position. Any news or notes or anything on your radar as far as that edge? Nebraska needs defensive ends. How are they doing at this point?
Well, right now, currently, they have two commits at that position in Robert Porche IV and Guy Thomas, both of whom are out of Florida. And they're both two very different defensive end guys. You've got Porche, who's about 6'3", 250 and growing. He's a guy who I think is kind of what they used to have when they had, like, McMullen. Mm-hmm. And
more of an anchor guy.
Yeah, kind of a guy anchoring down the strong side, defend the run, who can give you a bit as a pass rusher. And then you got Thomas, who's 6'3", maybe 210 right now, who just has tremendous speed and burst off the edge. And he's a guy who can actually get after the quarterback and give us a dynamic outside pass rush if he can add some weight his first year on campus. And then other prospects, because Nebraska was considered to be a big-time contender for a JUCO prospect out of Iowa Western in Andrew Van Ginkle, but Nebraska on Monday lost out to him to the Wisconsin Badgers for his commitment. And there's still rumblings that Van Ginkle might still visit Nebraska, possibly for the Minnesota or Maryland game. If that happens, they're still in it for him, but right now that's looking like a bit of a long shot. A name that's kind of emerged in recent weeks, though, is another Florida defensive end by the name of LaShawn Paulino. He's currently committed to Michigan State, but he was offered by Nebraska about 2 weeks ago, and basically Nebraska, with that offer, immediately vaulted into contention for him, and he's also a guy who there's some rumors he'll be visiting either next Saturday or the Maryland game. And with Michigan State struggles, you got to think Nebraska's got a shot there.
That's encouraging on the defensive end front. Jake, let's talk about some in-state kids. Kid I had a chance to watch last Friday night and was just all over offensively and defensively. Was Chris Walker. He made his verbal to Wyoming. He was up to Wyoming and see Coach Bull about 3 weeks ago, did his official, really talented player out of East and really talented offensive tackles where he's projected at the next level. Nebraska not in on him. Wyoming will certainly take that. As far as some other in-state kids for Nebraska, who are some guys maybe on Nebraska's radar? And who are some guys that are close or have made decisions to go elsewhere because they haven't gotten that Nebraska offer?
Walker's probably the most high-profile example in recent weeks of kids leaving the state for an actual offer. Another name that recently has decided to attend Wyoming is Davon Wells Ross out of Omaha. He's a 6'5", 200-pound just athlete, and he's a guy who, if he can find his position, because right now he's definitely a tweener where you're not sure if he's a linebacker or wide receiver or tight end. If he can find his position, I think he can be a very good player, especially in the Mountain West. So I think that's a very good player that left the state to go to Wyoming. And then for guys that are on Nebraska's radar, basically the whole group you're looking at is basically maybe Chris Walker's the only guy that I could see being a late offer, kind of like what happened with David Engelhoff last year, where Nebraska has shown interest in him, given him plenty of attention, but haven't yet came through with the offer. But maybe if they can't land an Aaron Banks or an Austin Jackson, maybe he'll get an offer in late January. And then, you know, all bets are off there. He's a Lincoln boy. Nebraska was a school that's he cares very much about, so you could see him maybe flipping. But also just for guys on a radar, just for a walk-on perspective, Jordan Pop, he's a good example from Central City, very good defense bend. He has an offer from South Dakota State right now. He's a guy to monitor going forward. If he picks the walk-on to Nebraska over some of his FCS offers, that'll be a big win for Nebraska. Another interesting name that I really like is Dylan Reynolds out of Broken Bow. He's a 6 foot, about 160-pound receiver. He's a little skinny right now, but he's got great speed and quickness. And he's a guy who, if you know, you look at like the Brandon Rileys and the Brian Reimers and the Gabe Rons guys, he fits that mold where give him 2 years in the strength and conditioning program. His redshirt sophomore year, he'll be able to compete for playing time for Nebraska. So I like him. I think he'll definitely get a walk-on offer before the cycle's complete.
Jake Jensen at Hale Varsity. Jake, thanks for a few minutes. Thanks for the update today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Subscribe to Hale Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to halevarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
All right, weekend edition of Hale Varsity coming up tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Mark Kranach, myself, Chris Schmidt. TJ Henning rocked it today. Appreciate him sitting in. Thanks to Bill Dolman and Mike Babcock and Lars Anderson and Klosburn and Navat. Jake Jensen, a recruiting update. I want to remind you, safe driving demands your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Touching moment at the Cubs parade today. Rizzo still has that baseball that he caught over at first base in his back pocket. David Ross was his man, was his mentor. He said some kind words about him today at the parade.
Lastly, before I introduce him, I want to say a few words about him, the grandpa. Gramps and I sat down a few years ago in an offseason before his last year with Boston. He was a free agent. And we just talked. And we have the same agency, and we're talking. And I say to my agent, I go, man, this is exactly what the Chicago Cubs need. He is exactly what we need to bring everything together. And obviously a lot of pieces came through with that, but he taught myself personally how to become a real winner. And woo, he's like a brother to me. He's taught me a lot in life, on the field, off the field, how to be a better person. I'm forever grateful for him. And he's going out a champion forever. For the rest of his life, you could say the last game he played in, he's a world champion. Let's bring up David Ross.
Well done. Well done, Rizzo. Impressive. And well heartfelt and thought out. And you need one of those vets. Gotta have one of those vets to bring it all together. Nebraska, 11 of those vets. So they head to Columbus Saturday night against the Ohio State University. Interested to see. You know, Seathan Carter is good to go. Nate Gary is going to be rocking. Tommy, very even-keeled approach about Saturday night. And we'll see what can get done. How can Nebraska do on the offensive line? Are they going to be able to tackle well in space and compensate against the athleticism with scheme? Can you get different guys the football? Westy, yes, will need to get his touches in the slot, but spread around the football. Lastly, the defensive ends, and Jay nailed this yesterday. I want to reiterate it on that zone read that Barrett runs. He waits till the new play clock starts, it seems like, to either keep or give. Defensive ends can't make a decision too quick. I know that inhibits playing fast, but forces issue because he is so late and waits on that zone read. Hopefully Nebraska gets it done if you're a big Red fan. We'll see. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, find you tomorrow at 7 a.m. with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.